podcast for Monday, April 26, 2021. Bully Commutes is the only daily morning podcast bringing you content from around the Wolf of All world. You can follow us at Twitter at Holy Commutes. This is Paul and Tim Cook, your Monday host here for our April season on our final April show. Today we're going to talk about our season got kicked off, Tim, in earnest this past weekend with the Mid-Atlantic opening day tournament. 20 teams in York, Pennsylvania. So we're just going to kind of talk a little bit about this, about the tournament today, kind of recap it, our big takeaways on the field, some more general stuff, just whatever you took away from this weekend, Tim, whether there was, a few players, a few teams, just a few sort of generalities, both on-field play and anything else that may come to mind. So that sounds good. We'll just jump right in.
Yeah, no, it was a great day on Saturday. We always go into these tournaments, hoping that they're going to run well, from a weather perspective, from a time perspective, and from an on-the-field perspective. And, once again, we weren't let down by any of those three items.
So let's sort of start at the beginning with this was a different tournament for MAW and for us. So because we had 20 teams, because we opened it up to 24 total, it was our sort of our max, but I think we all kind of took a sigh of relief that we didn't get 24. That would have really put us up against it in a lot of different ways, just in timing and stuff. So I think 20 worked out really well, but we had to have a satellite location offsite from our normal three fields at Shy Wiffle Ball Park. So we had a satellite location at Dallas Town Park, which is just a park, a couple miles away from Shy Wiffle Ball Park. And I think, so we went there Friday, set all that stuff up. I think that worked out really, really well, a lot better than I thought it was going to work out. The park itself was very nice. Like the grass was, for this time of the year, really, really green, really, really not well maintained. The fields came out well, and I heard nothing but, good feedback about it.
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of that, almost all of that goes to, Nick Shirey, Jared Laird, Jared Bull. Bull was cutting the grass when we got up there Friday afternoon. The 180 square feet that we needed for the four fields, fit perfectly into this little complex. Like you said, grass was great. And I just, can't say enough about, Shirey and Laird and, just those guys. Leading, that effort. And it led to a massive success.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the first, I would say it's the first tournament in many, many years. You and I, there's very few tournaments I can think of throughout history that, that I've been aware of. I'm sure there's plenty that have happened I'm not aware of that, have used two different locations, and the big one always comes to mind to me is Summer Showdown, NJWA Summer Showdown, because they had Pat Pone and there was games being played there, and then they would have a whole bunch of other games played in a park. Obviously the traveling back and forth is always a worry, so we just parked everyone for pool play at one location or another, and it all worked out really well. I think like the only sort of downside is because we had four fields at the offsite location, some of those teams got done earlier, and a couple of the teams in advance that had pretty long, had longer waits than ideal before they played again in the quarterfinals. But that sort of is what it is. I'm not sure, the only other option, just do like all the pool play games over there, then you're building more fields and stuff, and that's just not going to work. But, I think it worked out really well. And like, I was really happy with how many people came over afterwards from the satellite fields.
Yeah. And that was I think that was part of the intent too. Hey, it really was. It was a 6-minute drive. You made like maybe four turns, down a couple country roads to get to Shirey's. And we had a lot of people, even who were eliminated, come over and help make the already, hot atmosphere at Shy Wiffle Ball Park, that started at 7:50 a.m., last that full day until the last pitch, around 7 p.m. on Saturday night.
Yeah, and we appreciate everyone that did come over, you know, even if they just stayed for, you know, whatever time they stayed for and stayed till the end. That's much appreciated. Yeah, that did build up the atmosphere. And the last thing I just want to say about that, since you mentioned atmosphere, is, you know, I think one of the concerns is if you don't have everyone in the same place, that, you know, the atmosphere can suffer whatever. And yeah, I think it's always better to have everyone in one place if you can. But I think it was kind of cool. I don't know how you felt. I was at the satellite fields in the morning, Tim, and then you took over. You and Shari came over, you know, midday, and then I went back over to the other fields. But I know at the satellites in the morning, there was a lot of people saying, you know, what's going, you know, who's won over there? What's happening over there? And we were sharing information back and forth. We had information on social media too, so like we were able to give all that stuff. And like that, it was a different atmosphere, but it's kind of a cool one of like, you know, like it just made the whole thing feel bigger in some ways, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, it felt bigger because it was bigger.
That's true too. Yeah. So like, you know, competition wise, like, I mean, it was pretty stacked.
When we were driving home Saturday night, you know, I mean, I think I said, you know, this is the largest amount of high quality players,
yeah,
probably ever. And you know, it's just amazing. And you know, 2021, just how many great players there are out there.
Yeah, like I mean, there wasn't a team there that didn't have, you know, like at least one pitcher that, you know, There wasn't a team there that had at least, yeah, one pitcher that didn't have, you know, some sort of stuff. And most teams had at least one pitcher that was, you know, that I would say is, you know, well above average. And then most teams had, you know, at least two or three pitchers. So like every game was a battle. And the best example, and you and I were talking about this earlier, Tim, I think the best example of that is Y2B, which is basically leftover. When the New York Yaks reached, changed up their roster this year, you know, a couple guys got left out. So Jared Laird was a longtime Yak, you know, still wanted to play. So they put together this team with Jared Bull, who's been their top pitcher for, you know, the last few years before they got Noah. Then they added Ian Crosby from Way Too Beautiful. And they had another former Yak, JR, playing with him yesterday. So this team that you could be easy to overlook. They only have one pitcher, but Bull's a very good pitcher. They went 1-2 in pool play. They got their one win over WSEM in a bases loaded situation, lost 1-2-0. I can't remember exactly to the Wiffleholics, but otherwise, you know, it's a couple walks and a hit. Otherwise Bull shut them down. Then in their final game, they almost knocked Voodoo out of the tournament. Both teams.
It was an elimination game for both
teams. Yeah. And it went seven innings, Y2B actually went up in the sixth inning with a bases loaded walk and then gave it back in the other half and then ended up losing the seventh. But like, you know, you take that team, like on paper was probably like the team that was most easy to overlook and say like, you know, oh, this is just kind of a thrown together team. And because Bull is very, very good. I'm not sure people, you know, nationally sort of recognize that yet. They almost totally changed the course of the tournament. And I think that's the best illustration of how deep this tournament field was.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, Nick Shirey, who, you know, he doesn't brag or, yeah, you know, he's very much, you know, truthful. You know, he'd been telling us all off season, you know, the couple times he played with Bull looks better than ever. He's, you know, he's serious. Not that he hasn't been serious in the past, but after being at United Wiffle, you know, he saw how, you know, big this was and was like, you know, I'm going to get to my potential and even more. So that was, you know, that was really cool to see. You know, another thing, you know, just about like, you know, how many different players and teams, you know, the number of states represented on Saturday, you know, was insane. You know, off the top of my head, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Hampshire, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, Georgia, Missouri, Michigan, West Virginia, Nevada, Louisiana, and Minnesota.
That's 16 you named.
That's ridiculous. In an amazing way.
You know, it's really cool. We're really like, you know, I hope we conveyed this at the tournament to everyone that we talked to, that, you know, obviously anyone that came, whether you're, you know, 30 minutes away or, you know, 10 hours away, you know, we're very, very thankful, you know, for you participating, but yeah, especially those people that travel, you know, large distances. You know, we really appreciate them, you know, sort of, you know, obviously MAW has been around for 5 years and stuff. And, you know, I hope we've built up a positive reputation, but at the same time, it is still sort of jumping. If you've never been there before, it's jumping into something unknown, and to just say, hey, I'm going to, you know, plunk down this time and money to travel, you know, for this experience. We don't take that for granted. And we really appreciate those guys putting their faith in us. You know, I hope the tournament, the competition, and just everything else, you know, delivered to their expectations. And from the feedback we got, it seems like it certainly did.
Yeah, the feedback was great as always. And, you know, it can't be reiterated enough that, like, you know, that this couldn't happen without all of these great players and all of these great teams and just everyone who participates. You know, it really is a sum of the whole product.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's the players, and it's everything. Not to jump sort of, so we talked about Y2B, they almost pulled an upset. They didn't quite, but there were some upsets here, and these upsets also, I think, sort of, you know, convey the depth of competition that was at this tournament. First one happened almost right away. So like when we did the draw, you know, the first thing when we're done doing the draw, it's the first thing, you know, you and I kind of do is look and see like, okay, you know, is there, you know, did anyone just get to, you know, really, really tough draw? You know, did anyone get screwed? And they were the first team drawn was the short balls when we did the draw last week. And so you didn't have to go very far down the list to find the team that had the tough draw. They had Voodoo in their opener, the Juggernauts. And do you remember who their third team was?
I don't remember.
It was either East Coast Elite or the Wiffleholics. It was some other tough team. I'll bring it up as I'm talking. But in there, you know, so it's like, oh, this, you know, and short balls are, you know, a good team, but they were, you know, they don't have Teddy Drescher this year. So they're down one major arm. You know, Frankie, last time we talked to him, said he wasn't pitching. So they're basically down to Nate Smith and, you know, still pretty green Pat Farrell pitching wise. And they look destined to go 0-3. First game of the day, you know, they're playing Voodoo the very first game of the day, which, you know, like we've talked about and written about, you know, they were the team to beat coming into the season. Short balls beat them 2-1. Frankie Campanelli has just a monster game. He shuts them out. He pitches, you know, I hope his arm's okay today, but, you know, he wasn't necessarily planning on pitching much this year. He threw that game though, just completely shut him down, gave up one run, nothing else. Hit a triple and a home run, drove in all two short balls RBI. So like, you know, that's what you love to see, Tim. Like I think that really shows the depth. That really shows how good competition wise MAW has become, where, you know, like, you know, short balls ended up losing their next two games. They went 1-2, they were non-factor, but that, like, you know, a team that everyone probably would have put, you know, especially after the draw, everyone probably would have put them 19th or 20th. You know, fantasy wise, and even before the draw, they would have been bottom fourth, and, you know, they beat the best team there in the first game. And, like, you know, I think you judge how good a, you know, a league or an organization is competition wise by their quote unquote lowest teams. And, you know, and when the quote unquote one of the lowest quote unquote teams can beat, you know, a team that is the, you know, the most talented or one of the most talented on paper anytime out, that says it all.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, starting off with a, you know, and Jordan was on the mound for that game, you know, Jordan versus Frankie has, I think it's happened in the past before, you know, it's a great matchup. And, you know, to get that started, you know, it was funny. I was over, since I was at Chai for the morning session, you know, that game was an 8 o'clock start time. Both teams were ready to go and started the game at 7:50. I mean, you know, that's also, that's like, that's unheard of.
Guys were pumped and ready to play. Yeah.
Yeah. We also, like, I mean, you know, so that starts at 7:50 at, you know, rest of the games start at 8 o'clock, and you've got East Coast Elite going up against the Juggernauts, which, you know, so that's the first game of the day down on Buffalo. That would be the championship game,
yeah,
you know, 12 plus hours later. And, you know, there's not many better ways to start and end a tournament than, you know, with those two games bookended.
Yeah, that was really cool because everyone looked at, you know, the brackets and said, oh, well, this, the bracket that was at Shy is, you know, people start saying the death bracket. And, you know, I mean, personally, I thought that was a wrong assessment. I think in order to get that sort of, you know, moniker, it has to lean even more than it did in terms of the level of competition. It obviously was the more, it had the higher end teams on paper, but it was, you know, 60-40 ish maybe. So like, it wasn't a huge swing, but I think it all worked itself out. You know, no one was just, you know, no one got in from the other side that, you know, probably wouldn't have at least been real competitive on this side, and then vice versa.
Exactly. It was very much even once on paper before leading up to the tournament, it looked a little lopsided. When it actually played out, it really struck, you know, a nice middle ground.
Well, because the good teams are going to win, right? Like you know, they're going to win enough to, you know, to at least sort of, you know, force a situation where, you know, to put themselves in a good position to continue. And the fact that the Juggernauts in East Coast Elite bookended the tournament, I think sort of shows that. It's like, that was a tough first game. That game went into six innings with bases loaded, and, you know, Tim McGarroff hit a walk-off grand slam to win it for the Juggernauts.
After they fell behind in that
top half. So like that was a grueling, grueling game. That game took a real long time, you know, but we ended up getting back on track from it. And, you know, so like you could look at it and say, oh, well, you know, East Coast Elite had to play this really tough game, their first game, that's, you know, screws them. It's like, well, no, you know, there's enough opportunities to make your way back. And they did. And at the end of the day, the two best teams still faced each other. You know, and I think that stuff just works itself out. So I want to talk about like players maybe that, you know, mm-hmm. that stuck out to you. So I'll start and then you can, you know, jump in here. But I want to talk about Joe Nord real quick. So, you know, we had Joe on the podcast this offseason. And he's kind of jumping head first back into fast pitch. He's hoping to jump head first back into fast pitch wiffle ball this year. And this was his start of that with his new team on Lee. So they were matched up against the Meats the first game. They were down a player. So Joe took the ball first game against the Meats. You know, really good stuff that, you know, looked a lot like his stuff from, you know, from 10 and 15 years ago. Held a, you know, Meats had a three-man lineup of, you know, Jimmy, Vin, and Kayvon. So like, you know, three good hitters and seeing a lot of his pitches. And Joe, you know, was hitting the spots, just looked really good, just really fun to watch. You know, he felt a little something in his elbow late in the game, smartly pulled himself. But, you know, it was great seeing Joe back out there. And for six innings, he pitched really, really well.
Yeah, I'd go over to Grant Miller from Great Lakes Legion. Saw him throw against the Stompers, and he was throwing gas. It was, you know, he had a ton of pitches, you know, it was just very impressive. You know, I'm a little biased for this, you know, next group, but like, I really think that, you know, under, you know, following the lead of, you know, Bryce Clark and Tom Gannon, you know, the Stompers, even though the record was only 1-2 on the day, you know, it was a team that was a lot better than their outcome showed up as, and, you know, probably a better team at least one tournament in than the 2020 version. And all right, that's not to put down the 2020 version. The 2020 version took home a tournament title. So like, I was just really impressed with those guys, you know, Nate Cruz, Sean Ryan, Andrew Montero, Wyatt Sussman, you know, everyone contributed in some way. And, you know, just those six guys, again, something you look at on paper and you're kind of like, how's this team really going to work? And I think it's going to work. You got another player?
Yeah, I got one. I think that's a good one. Lots of the stopper ceiling, I think, is, you know, you saw a higher ceiling with that, with the way they performed this weekend. But yeah, I've got another one. It's back. Scott Fleeser for East Coast Elite. So, you know, Scott played in Palisades for many years, hasn't played in a few years. Since it was his first time back out. So in pitching wise, his first time back, you know, on the rubber in any game was against Voodoo in the elimination round. So, you know, out there against a, you know, a really, really, really tough team. And he threw a perfect game. He threw a perfect game and beat Kenny Stengel, hit a two-run home run off of Toast. And I also want to mention Toast. You know, that was his, he threw a little bit in, you know, sort of semi-ish mop-up duty at United Wiffle, but, you know, otherwise this was his first time really back on the mound. And he just made one, I don't even know if it was a mistake, but Kenny Stengel, you know, took him deep. But otherwise, you know, he pitched well. But, you know, Fleeser to, you know, come in that situation and do that is, you know, really, really, really impressive. And I can't wait to see more of him.
Yeah, and I mean, we really, you know, if this was a two-hour podcast, we could talk about probably 40 different players and their accomplishments.
Oh yeah, there's literally probably a couple dozen that, you know, hopefully we can shout out in one way or another over the next week before we get ready for the next tournament.
So, you know, as we, you know, wrap up today's episode,
before we do that,
my bad.
We got to talk about the juggernauts, right? Like we can't.
Oh, well, that was kind of where I was going.
Okay.
In fact, that was where I was
going. Continue.
So, you know, the juggernauts off season, you know, everyone, you know, kind of understood the story, you know, disappointment at the MAW championship last year, disappointment at United Wiffle. You know, if you followed Tim McElrath on Snapchat and Instagram, you saw this winner that, you know, this guy was, you know, going to do everything in his power to make sure there wasn't a repeat of last year. And, you know, it's only the beginning of the season and it is a long season, but one for one in that category.
Yeah, and I think that was a really, really neat story. Because a lot of times when you're, you know, those guys were all just incredibly focused on writing what, you know, they saw, you know, redeeming themselves, what they saw as a disappointing 2020 season. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of times you go into that mindset, you know, you can psych yourself out, just you cannot do anything wrong, you can do everything right, and, you know, still not, you know, get that, you know, redemption. And they kind of did it in one tournament. They did impressive fashion. They were, you know, we talked about the East Coast Elite game. They battled back from that. You know, they had tough opponents all the way through, you know, like everyone did, you know, all the way through the single elimination portion, and just everything came together, I think, exactly, you know, as they would have outlined it. Everyone contributed, everyone played their role. And it was really cool to sort of see, you know, get in sports very many times stories like that, you know, to sort of play out kind of how you might outline them. It was really cool to see that happen for them.
Yeah, it may have been the best 6-0 single tournament performance, you know, record wise against that quality of opponents in MAW history. You know, in fact, you know, at least off the top of my head, I can't think of anything, you know, close to that.
You know, it's certainly up there. Yeah, one of the most impressive single tournament team performances that we've seen in MAW. And like I said, I just, even beyond that, for me, is just the way I played out. It was so picture perfect. From, you know, obviously if you're not ready for the juggernauts, or you don't have a vested interest in, you know, stories playing out that way, you may not care, but, like, you know, it was cool to just see it, you know, just to see a team that focused and have it pay off in a really interesting, fun way. So hopefully we can show you a bunch of that, you know, over the next, you know, couple weeks, before our next event, because, you know, it was a really cool, single tournament story.
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the other things was, you know, Juggernauts GM Ben Stant bringing in Brian DiNapoli, you know, DiNap not having played down here a ton, you know, people aren't as used to seeing him, and he was able to be a weapon, you know, obviously on the mound late in the tournament, but also at bat, and just kept giving a team that has so many talented people, you know, the chance to stay in every game and to, you know, and to get back into things. And like, if, you know, I'd say, you know, from my personal perspective, I say, if Tim McElrath didn't have the day he had, you know, DiNapoli would be, you know, a pretty clear front runner for tournament MVP, you know, in almost any other scenario.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, it goes back to what you said earlier, is that we could sit here and name, you know, we could sit here and do a 2-hour podcast and name 100 guys, or not 100 guys, but like, you know, 50, 60 guys from yesterday's tournament, or Saturday's tournament that we were impressed with. And, you know, and that shows through even on the juggernauts, you know, Red had a huge day.
Oh, yeah, big day.
You know, Ryan was Ryan, you know, Stan contributed in a lot of different ways. So like, even on that team, you could go through everyone. But I do want to name, I only want to talk about one game just real quick before we go, not to go back from there, but I think Nick Schaefer would be upset if we didn't talk about this game. And that's the Great Lakes Legion versus Wiffleholics. So we have this stream on our Facebook, but this is, you know, it was Cam Smith for Great Lakes Legion pitching against Mike Tuohy from Wiffleholics. If you've seen, you know, Mike pitch, you know, last year he pitched a little bit up in New England, fast pitch, and then he pitched at United Wiffle. You know, it was good everywhere he pitched, and he brought that same stuff to opening day. This was a must win. This was a must win game for both teams to move on in the tournament. And, you know, Tui's stuff was just electric. I mean, you know, the velocity was unreal, but everything else was, you know, his location, his stuff, it was all up there. You know, Cam matched him for six innings, and we got a walk-off home run from Mike Hogan from Great Lakes Legion. And that was just a really exciting game, a really great pitching match. And the reason I mentioned, you know, Nick is because, you know, he's watched a lot of wiffle ball. He's played a lot of wiffle, has competed against a lot of high quality guys. And he thought that was one of the best pitcher versus pitcher matchups that he can remember seeing.
Yeah. Nick came running up to us afterwards. Cause he did the announcing for that game solo. And he came up to us and said, that was one of the best finishes ever. You know, Tui had, you know, I think he recorded every out, 15 strikeouts through the five innings. He, you know, as far as Nick remembered, you know, he wasn't sure that there was even a foul ball, you know.
He was just completely dominant,
from the Great Lakes Legion. And then in the bottom of the sixth, the first pitch of the inning is a solo home run, or a grand slam technically, but a home run. And it's those type of moments where, like, it's amazing for one team and it's just heartbreaking for the other team. But in the end, it's going to make both teams better in the long run, so you really don't have a true loser.
It's one of those awesome games that I think we'll remember you know, through the rest of the season, like maybe like the short balls Earl of 2021 maybe. But yeah, so again, just thanks to everyone that participated yesterday, everyone that followed along. I know we get to be a broken record about this, but we really, really do appreciate it. You know, a lot of hard work goes into this, but, you know, Tim I and Shirey are always rewarded by, you know, just the event being successful, seeing so many people have a good time, you know, and that good time encompasses a lot of different things, from being able to compete against in high level athletic competition, getting to hang out with, you know, people, which, you know, I think a lot of us, you know, take a lot less for granted now after, after COVID, or not after COVID, but, you know, with COVID, and just, you know, getting all that experience. But yeah, it makes it worthwhile to, you know, to see people enjoy it. So yeah, thanks again for everyone that traveled, wherever you traveled from, you know, thanks for participating and attending, and everyone that followed along, same deal. You know, we really appreciate it. And our next event, is, in Philly and really park in a couple of weeks, and that should be a really good one too. So quick turnaround, but we're looking forward to getting back out there already.
Yeah, it should be. This this past Saturday was just the beginning of what hopefully will be an amazing 2021.
So that does it for our show today and for the Monday episodes of the April 2021 season of Holy Commutes. We'll be back this summer with another season of Holy Commutes sometime, you know, sometime midsummer. I forget if it's June or July, but, you know, back when things are really in the swing of things. So hopefully Tim and I will be back too to discuss the MAW and whatever else is going on in the Warfare world at that time. But until then, Tim Dean is up tomorrow. He's back with his Tuesday show. So tune in for that. And again, follow us on Twitter at Holy Commutes. And we will see you all next time.